guess we'll read the minutes here. I'm going to lay it right over here. I don't know who's the Joe, but it looks like it's got a lot of singing in it. And I'm for that all the way around. Let me see if I can get this button turned on. Is that it? Right there? Hey, thank you very much. All right, take your Bible, if you will, the book of Isaiah. Let's look there in the book of Isaiah, if you find the place and you're able to stand. In the book of Isaiah, chapter number 59, let's read there in that passage there for just a second as we look. All right, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with the iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity, and they speak lies, and they conceive mischief, and they bring forth iniquity. Now, about verse number 10. And we grope for the wall like a blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes, and we stumble at noonday, as in the night, and we are desolate and in places as dead men. And we roar like a bear and mourn sore like doves, and we look for judgment, but there's none, for salvation, but it's far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied and before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it and how good it is to be in the house of God. We praise you and we thank you, thou God, and we thank you, Lord, that in spite of who and what we are and of our iniquities and sins that have separated us from thee, Lord, we thank you. You're in the saving business. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while this morning, if I might. God's still in the saving business. Now, the reason why that there's so many people up and down the road of life that don't know the Lord is beyond me in the day and hour we live in. Let me tell you, the same thing that you and I deal with on a regular basis, every church across the country that stands for God and the Bible, good, right, moral, and decent, every one of them is dealing with the same kind of thing. I think about everybody that I've ever known and everybody that I know right now. And let me tell you, there's been a lot that we knew that came and went. And there's a lot right now that in the day and hour that we're living in that I can promise you, they're religious, but they're like that person groping in the darkness. They're like trying to feel their way to heaven. They're like somehow or another want to feel good about themselves the way they are without the need for God to grant repentance and to give them fame. I was thinking about, you know, here it is. This is Super Bowl Sunday. I don't know which team you're for and how much money that you've got on put on it, and that's your problem. It's not going to be mine. I've never bet one time on any of that. But I know some people that don't mind drinking a beer every now and again or a little bit of liquor, maybe a martini. They'll bet on every game that comes up. They're busy about this and that, about the flesh and fanning the flames of it. And seemingly that they do all of that. And sometimes they even hit it right and they do well. And it seems like that they can do no wrong. And that everything they do seems to prosper. Yes, now, you know what? You know the reason why that is? They're bastards and they're not sons. If they really and truly knew the Lord, God would whip some britches. But see, nobody wants to think on that right there. And let me tell you right now that when you begin to look in the book of Isaiah, they begin to know that something, for some reason, God is not dealing or helping us. And here's what he said. You know what's the matter with you? Your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Now, in this lesson that we're looking at, you can't go on a feeling. Somebody said, well, I feel like I'm all right. Well, you can't go on a feeling. Feelings will deceive you. What you'll have to go on is the word of the Lord, the promise of God. And let me tell you, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of the Lord. Somebody said, well, do you see very many people getting saved anymore? No, not really. But I can tell you what, when God does reach down and snatch one as a brand from the burning, it'll change their heart and change their life just like he did yours the day you got saved. in this lesson here that we're looking at, you'll find that it really starts back over there in chapter number 56. And you'll find out that what they do, he talks about the blessed man, and he talks about that what he's going to face one of these days is that somebody trying to pollute the Sabbath day. Boy, we're there. We're there. And let me say to you that not only that, but in chapter 56 and verse number 10, he talks about a sorry preacher that ain't going to say nothing about it. You know the reason why it's that way, don't you? Well, the more you lose, the less money that you're going to get. And the Bible said they're like greedy dogs that won't bark. And they love to sleep. They love to slumber. And as a result of it, you're going to find out they've not preached the blessed word of the Lord. People are starved about the things of God. They don't really know what to be able to feed upon. And what they do feed upon, if they're not careful, it's going to be like ashes. But in this lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you, there's a sermon that ought to be proclaimed, and it ought to be proclaimed aloud. In Isaiah 58 and verse number 1, he said, "Cry aloud and spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression in the house of Jacob their sins." I got to tell you something. There's been more than a few that have been up and down the road of life, and in the day we live in, did you ever notice how whenever you go visit at another church or you're on vacation and whatever else you're doing, that for the most part, it's just dead. It's just the whole congregation's dead. I got to tell you, I appreciate old Brother Mark whenever he was here and done a good job. And let me tell you right now, he appreciated you receiving the word of the Lord. And do you remember whenever he got up and he said, he goes everywhere, and he said, you don't hardly find anything like this anywhere. You know why that is? Difference between how you feel about the word of the Lord, the things of God, and just being religious. We came to get in, not just to get out, you see. And as a result of that, you're going to find out that God is still in the saving business. God said that his hand's not sharp, that he can't reach down. Listen, are you trying to reach up to God? God can reach farther down than you and I could ever be able to reach up. And I want to tell you, I'm glad to be able to know that, because his ear's not heavy to where he cannot hear you. You're going to find out is that the problem does not lie with God, but the problem lies with us, or lies with humanity. In this Bible lesson, you're going to find out, he said, is that the Lord's hand is not sharpened, that he cannot save you. He can save you, and he will save you, and make no mistake about that. And the reason being is because in verse number 1 of chapter number 59, God is in the saving business. His ear's not too heavy to listen to you. His hand's not too sharp to reach you. And God's grace will be sufficient for you. But you find out we live in a day and an hour, folks are not interested in grace. What they're interested in, somehow or another, they're interested in something that makes them feel good about themselves, like they are, without the need to repent. Right. Now, in this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out over there in the book of St. John, chapter number 10, about verse number 1, he talked about the only way to be able to get to heaven is through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the Bible said there are those that are trying to come up some other way. Let me tell you what they're going to do is, the man's always been, and he is right now, he will be tomorrow, in the fabricating business. What they're trying to do to be able to get somebody tricked into the kingdom of God, you can't trick people in. Somebody told me one time, said, "Well, you know, I'm working on a plan to where that when I get a person to bow their head and repeat this prayer, they'll be saved and already in before they know what's in them." What an idiot that is! What I mean, I'm ashamed that he even told me that he was a Baptist. What a shame that people are trying to trick other people in to the family of God. You're not going to do that. I got to say to you that whenever you begin to look into it, look in verse number 3. He said, "For your hands are defiled with blood." There it is right there. You know why you can't grab a hold? If you're not saved here this morning, you know why you're not grabbing hold of the things of God? You've got defiled hands. Look at that, and he said in verse 3. He said, "For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity, and your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue hath murdered perverseness and none calls for justice. I got to say to you, do you really and truly believe him? Do you really truly believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, died on the cross, was buried in the tomb, rose again the third day according to the scriptures, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life? You know, as a young man, I've told you a few little shenanigans, and I had to quit telling them because some of these other boys would think it was good and macho, and then they try to pull in that same stuff on their loved ones. You had to pay a price to be my sibling. In this lesson, it's here, and I know I can just see that flesh-mongering hunger on your face. Oh, tell us one. Just tell us. No, I'm not doing it anymore. I can tell you one thing, is that whenever you begin to look into this Bible lesson, you begin to find out is that God says first you need to look at your heart and see what's wrong with it. Look at your hands and see what you're grabbing hold of. You see that? I got to say to you, make no mistake about it, man's always been trying to, even now as we speak, trying to climb up some other way, and there's no way that you're going to be able to attain that. He said in verse number 4 that we've read, there's none that calleth for justice. None that pleadeth for the truth, that really wants the truth of God. I begin to think about in the lesson, instead of grace, they're busy with walking around, and they're busy groping, like in the darkness, and they're doing what they can to be able to cover their own sins by their own works and their own righteousness, and there's none to be able to cover with. I want to say to you that in the lesson that we're looking at, you'll find that those who do not know the grace of God will grope in darkness. Now, you know what groping is? It's like you can't see. You're like a blind person. You can't see anything. You can't tell anything. And as a result of that, you're just trying to feel your way to hopefully you can find the entrance. And let me tell you right now is that you're never going to find it. And that's why verse number 10 said, we grope for a wall like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday and in the night, and we're desolate in places as dismal. I want to tell you what happens then. Is that it's not a matter, it's no secret what God can do for you. When God brings you to the place that you want to be born into the family of God, you ain't got to feel your way about it. You ain't got to grope as though you're a blind person and have no way. Listen, God will shine upon you in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ that you might be born into the family of God. Now, those who don't know grace are going to be busy trying to grope. There's a couple of passages that we ought to look at there, and as we begin to, look over there in the book of Job, if you'll turn quickly there in the book of Job. There's a passage there, and it's in about chapter number 12, and it's about verse number 24 in the book of Job. Now, in Job chapter number 12, verse number 24, here's what the passage has to deal with when you begin to look into that. Chapter number 12, verse number 24. He says there in that passage there, he taketh away the heart of the chief of the people of the earth, and he causes them to wander in a wilderness where there is no way. They grope in the dark without light, and he maketh them to stagger like a drunken man. Now, these are people here that no doubt that are leaders, blind leaders of the blind, that are going to end up falling in the ditch. And boy, he talks about them and shows them that they are like a person without a light. They're a person without a lamp. A person that can never be able to find their way because they're like a blind person groping here and groping there. That's what religion does for a person. In this lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out over there in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 28, the word grope there is mentioned again. And I want you to see the passage. And as we look there in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 28, about verse number 15, there's a passage that we ought to be able to look at. And in chapter number 28, verse 15, here's what he says in the passage. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. And thou shalt grope at noonday. In other words, the brightest part of the day. You've got no light to help you whatsoever. Thou shalt grope at noonday as a blind man gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in the way, in thy ways. And thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. I want to say to you that when you begin to look into the Bible, you're going to find out when a person's groping in the darkness, they've lost sight of the facts. They've lost sight of the right path. Let me tell you what, it ain't going to be a matter of feeling your way in, feeling your way up and out. It's going to be a matter of being able to have faith that comes from God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And yet if you're not careful, you're too busy with other things to be able to hear the Word of the Lord. You know, the same thing plaguing this church plagues a lot of churches up and down the road. People are busy looking at their laptop. I don't see anybody this morning looking at their phone. I got my phone this morning. Most time I leave it in the car and all of that. It's got a good picture of the wife on it and all that business there when she was 65. I couldn't remember her looking so young as she was in it. She don't look a day older than me, none. I said all that. I had to go out there and get a word. I wanted to be able to look up a word. And so as a result of that, I got that. I hadn't got any calls or anything like that. But I just wanted to tell you right now, there's nothing more important than the Word of the Lord. But in the average Baptist church, and all you got to do is just every now and again pay attention, look and see the people that are playing on the laptop, playing on their phone. They're busy about this and busy about that. They can't tell you one thing that's done or said from the Word of the Lord by the time that the service is over. That's why America's going to hell in a handbasket. In this lesson, you're going to find out is that the Bible said is that they've got something wrong. Do you realize that, though, that for your family, you need to be able to get the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ? And let me tell you something, is that these are people here that got the wrong fruit they're producing. And make no mistake about it, they're in the wrong business when it comes down to obeying or disobeying God. They're disobedient unto the Lord. Now, I'm getting ready to close down this tonight. I want you to see back over there in our text that we looked at in chapter number 59. And as we look there in the book of Isaiah in chapter number 59. Now, here's what he says, verse 10. For we grope for the wall like the blind. They're not blind, but they grope as though they were. We grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday in the night. We are desolate in places as dead men. We roar like the bears. We mourn sore like the doves. And we look for judgment, but there's none for salvation, but it's far from us. For our transgressions are multiplying before thee, and our sins testify against us. And for our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgression and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt and conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And the judgment is turned away backward. Injustice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth falleth or truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw him, and it displeased him, and there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. And therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness is sustained him. Now, in this lesson here that you're looking at, I can tell you what we need to be looking at. We need to be looking toward the Lord, who is not only the originator of salvation and the originator of faith, but faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of the Lord. You know, if you don't have faith to believe God, it's because you're not hearing the Word of the Lord. The Word of the Lord produces God-given faith. And that's the reason why so many people will tell you, well, you know, well, what if I just abandon faith? Well, let me tell you something. If what you got's real, you can't get rid of it. You're not going to be able to just abandon faith. God-given faith will carry you all the way through, and because of the fact that you know Him in the free pardon of sin. I want to say in closing, as we do, is that you're going to find out is that God's hand's not short that it can't save you. I can tell you, I can promise you right now, I don't know how many people will be at the Super Bowl, just a regular game, they've got 75, 80,000 people. I don't know how many people they'll have at the Super Bowl. And all that business right there. And I don't know. And I'm not against the Super Bowl. And no, I don't have any money bet on it. And if I was going to bet, I wouldn't know who to bet on. I don't know any of those people that are there, pretty much. Who is it? New England, Patriots. Who are they playing?
Seattle,
Washington. There you go. Seattle who?
Seahawks.
Excuse me. See there? That's what I know about it. Seattle Seahawks. And what was the other one? New England Patriots. Is that who it was? Here's something right here. Here's something right here that you probably didn't get this week. But do you realize and know that it's the grace of God that is sufficient for every need that we have? Now, I've already told a couple of folks in my family I was listening to the news, and because, you know, I like to know kind of what's going on sometime. And they came on the news, and here's what they said concerning British Columbia. Sometimes they use that for B.C., and sometimes they use the U.K., but in here, you know what they're doing? They're trying to get something passed through British Columbia. And you know the reason why they can't do it? This is out of their own words, out of their own mouth. The reason they can't get a certain thing they want done passed in their country, it's too white. You know what that means? It means they don't have enough people of color to get passed what they're wanting to get passed. And they're blaming white folks. Now, I am white. I don't know if you notice that. The only black thing about me is my heart. Try preaching that somewhere in an all-white church. Man, what a black crowd this must be to be full of sin. See what I'm talking about? Now, who in the world says stuff like that? If we made a statement like that right there, we'd be absolutely flogged with racism remarks. But that's on national news, buddy. Couldn't get it passed because it's too white a country. And of course, you know, it is 70-something percent white is what the way I understand it. I wanted to look it up. Now, why do we care? We don't. We don't really care. What we do care is about what's being right and what's being wrong in the sight of God. And as a result of that, you're going to find out that if I've discouraged you, I didn't mean to. If you want to go ahead and pull for the Ukraine or pull for British Columbia, knock yourself out. If you somehow or another feel like that you need to go and to be able to watch the New England Patriots, is that it?
Yes.
And the Seattle Seahawks, where are they from, Seattle? Well, don't let me stop you. I just said all that. Whatever it is you're doing ought not to stand between you in serving the Lord.
Amen.
Let's stand to our feet, our heads are bowed. Our Father, we thank you for loving us even while we've been unloved. We ask your blessings upon the reading of the word. And we do praise you and we thank you. Thou art God, beside thee there's none else. Thank you, Lord, that we no longer have to grope in darkness, since we've come to know the true grace of God.